Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I still loving you. I'm walking down
to this Wednesday night's A Soft Place to Fall, and I am Lady A, and A Soft Place to Fall is part of a team of voices. We are a radio blog program that was created by our illustrious Deborah Lee. She is our creator and director and jack of all trades, women and men. And this is under the umbrella of allpoetry.com, the largest poetry group in the world. And I welcome you all, the listeners and callers in, and members of All Poetry and a team of voices and all other groups that happen to be taking in this show. And that song was written by our very own Jay Hatter, and sung and put to music by Shout Even Shy. And I think that that song is fabulous, and I will say it every time that I play it on the show, because it is a fabulous song. And I hope that one day, very soon, it will get recognized for what it is and become a hit song as well. So we all hope for that, and me especially. And so I'm going to go. We already have Jay Hatter on the phone right now. Hey, Jay Hatter, how are you?
I'm fine, Lady A. Thank you.
Welcome to the show. And I do believe we have Liquid Damage, Linda. Linda, is that you?
Hi. Yes, it is. And happy to be here, Lady A.
Thank you for calling in. Happy to have you.
Sure.
Yeah, Hatter is on the other line. And we're going to have a good show tonight. Getting back to the format that I used to have on the shows, and that was really a soft place to fall because I think Hatter and I were just talking, and, you know, this is a place, and being a writer and a poet is the avenue or the tool that we can use to really get in touch with our emotions, to be able to express them. And sometimes people can't express them anywhere else except here. And so it is a great opportunity for people to kind of unload and get some support in their thoughts and their emotions. And tonight's topic is going to be about being rejected. And there's all kinds of ways to be rejected, and we're going to talk about some of those. And Hatter, if you don't mind, you don't have to answer this question, but can you think of, you know, a job or something that came into your life or happened to you that you were rejected, and how did it make you feel? And you, like I said, you don't have to answer it if you don't feel comfortable.
I've never been rejected. No.
Oh, lucky you.
Me neither.
Oh, wow. If I'm the only one.
No, it's, you know, you're right. It's a place to, it's very lethargic to write down emotions, to release them onto paper, or you can do it metaphorically. You can hide your emotions a little, the events. It's also very important that people share emotional rights, that they get some positive back. It might not be all of them, might not be poetically structured in a way that we are used to, but it is important to let them know that we do feel their emotions that they're putting down. We encourage writing.
Most definitely. I'm just talking to somebody. I was just talking to somebody online. I won't tell you the whole story, but she's been struggling for quite a long time, and her circumstances are very sad. And she said to me, she said, "I've got 14 months clean, but I'm such a damaged person. I don't know what life is like outside of dysfunction. This is clear to me now." And that in itself is a revelation. And, you know, we have all kinds of people like that in the world, friends of ours, family members, who have those same feelings. And just to be able to recognize them, you know, within your own self, to me, is progress.
Right.
And
you need a support. You need somebody to be there to... that's gone, that understands what you're going through, somebody that's done it before, and to remind you there is light at the end of the tunnel, you know?
Yeah, it is, for sure. And how about you, Linda? Do you feel like you can speak to that topic at all?
Well, certainly. I mean, we've all had our you know, rejections in our lives. I kind of, you know, I've been there where I've gone into my cave, and because of my bipolar, I mean, it was a real big cave or a real small cave. And, but, you know, I too found that being sober was a big help out of the insanity. It brought me to a new light and helped me to see things from a positive point of view. And one thing somebody told me once, and my big breakup was you can still love him just from afar. You know, you don't have to stop loving the person just because you broke up. And they were right. You know, you don't have to stop loving them, and you can still be friends. I believe you can still be friends. And, you know, it just didn't work out. Sometimes I wrote that song, My Chevy Was a Piece of Shit, But That's How I Met You, was about that kind of a breakup. It was kind of a two-sided type of a thing. But, yeah, we've all gone there. We've all been there. So it's, you know, we all can relate to the situation.
Exactly. Can you dig that poem up and maybe read it after a bit, if we have time? That'd be perfect.
Sure.
Let me just check the studio. Yeah, there's all kinds of rejection that's hard to swallow, hard to take. I think that Marilyn Monroe had a quote that I really, really like, and just let me pull it up here. She said, my life is, it seems like my life at one time sometimes I feel my whole life has been one big rejection, and that's a Marilyn Monroe quote. And I want to read some of the other quotes that people may have written to. You rejected me, but I stood strong to prove that you were wrong. That's a your quote. Pain and suffering are always inevitable for a large intelligence and a deep heart. And isn't that true? Like, if you have that depth to you, that you feel it even more so than people that are more superficial. And then some of these are just general quotes, but if you live, I really like this one too, if you live for people's acceptance, you will die from their rejection. And that was from Lecrae. That's pretty profound, isn't it?
Right.
And rejection is not fatal. It's merely someone's opinion. That's Heather Howe. The privilege of a lifetime is to become who you truly are. Carl Jung.
You know, it all goes around the best form of I got the quote before I started saying it. Let me think of it. I'll get back. Jesus. Oh, the
I'll
best
just
form
read
of
the
revenge
last
is
one.
The best form of revenge is to live well. Yeah.
Was to be successful, yeah. The other one that was on here, hang on a second. Rejection puts you out of your comfort zone, which is usually when you're at your best. Those are just some of the quotes that I threw out there for people to kind of look at. And, you know, I can relate to Marilyn Monroe quite a bit as far as, well, for a lot of reasons, but with regard to being rejected, because that's been pretty much my life. And I don't know why. It's hard to face sometimes, because the ones that are closest to you are the ones that seem to reject you the most. And I feel like in my heart, you know, how I don't know about you guys, but I do a lot of self-examination, and I try to see where I've gone wrong, what I've done, what I've said, what could have been better? How could I have done it differently? Was it my fault? You know, those kinds of things constantly. And I'm not perfect, so yes, to some of those things. But for the most part, I feel like I've grown over my life and become a much better person over the years. And I like the person that I am, but it's difficult for me to continue in that vein because I have people who are supposed to be close to me telling me that they don't like those qualities or traits that I hold dear, that I feel have freed me to be the true person that I am. And so that makes it kind of hard. And so I'm just going to read you one of my, I put a couple of poems in there, but just to kind of start the evening out, I'm going to read this one. And I'll put it in the room for all to read, whoever wants to.
Yeah, I was trying to get the link there for Naomi also. See, she wanted to.
I have her link
show.
In here, actually.
To post that.
Okay, so this will. Okay, there it is. There. So this is called Caged Bird. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna give a message to Okay Deb. All right. So Caged Bird, and this is how it goes. See the birds feed on me until there's nothing left to see. Flutter and hover around my bones, ribbons of blood braid life unknown. Build their nests within my chest, feast on blood at their behest. Avian creatures, scarlet red, peck and pick at my swollen head. Icy blue eyes brimmed with tears, trapped in a cage these many years. Sorrow buried all her life, kept in a drawer next to the knife. Rouge birds peck my head, sanguine bloody deathbed. Pressure mounts, spinal fluid leaks, brain, cranium's fluid ounce. Pick, peck, pierce my neck, bleed an ocean, I am shipwrecked. There is no shame in bleeding red, spilling pain while sorrow shed. Truth let loose, set free my soul, climbing out of my dark black hole. Now you know my facade covers lonely, painful scars. End poem.
Wow. That's dark.
Mm-hmm.
That must have been a really bad time for you.
Well, it's kind of a continuation of my life. Yeah, it's dark. And, you know, the birds feed on me until there's nothing left to see. And that's, you know, without going on and on, I mean, my life is, I'm expressing it here. I don't live my life like this to feel sorry for myself and wiki-wiki-wama all the time. It's not anything like that, but it's in the back of my mind. The pain is always there, but I live as happy as I can live. And then periodically this picking and pecking gets to be too much to bear, and I can't stand it, so I write about it. But I'm glad you liked it.
Hatter? Yeah, very, very dark.
Oh, sorry, I didn't realize you weren't finished. Hatter, are you there?
Yes, I am. Yeah. It's, you know, writing with your emotions and like you said, a continuation to something you had written about before is one reason I don't post where my closer friends hang out, mainly because I get phone calls, you know, what's going on? Are you okay? You know, yeah, it's a poem. It's a poem. And it's like, I'm not there now. You know, I'm just writing a verse. People mistake it all the time for the here and now. Yeah, you just got to carry on. I always put in my head that no matter how much it's uncomfortable or in pain or whatever, you've got to do it with as much grace as you can for those that never had a chance to grow old.
Yeah.
Dignity. That's a very good word for this topic.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good.
It's I think you have to carry on. And there's a very fine line between carrying on despite sorrow and succumbing to it. You know what I mean? Like, you have to feel the pain to get through it, but you can't stay there forever. You know, you have to take what you know and learn some more about it and carry on. That's the hardest part, because a lot of people get stuck in that spot. It doesn't mean that I don't, you know, or other people don't revisit it now and then, especially if there's a trigger that happens and then you get flown right back into the middle of it all. But it's important to feel your pain, to feel the sorrow, but it's also very, very important to express it out loud, even if it's writing it down for yourself, and then to carry on and use that experience to become a better person, I think, too, which is very hard to do when you're really screwed up, you know, when you're feeling that sorrow, when you're feeling that pain, you know, if it's your family especially, it's extremely difficult. And because, you know, other than your children, I mean, you don't, some people in our families, we, you know, given the opportunity to become friends with them, you probably wouldn't. For some people have very close relationships with their siblings and their parents and that sort of thing, but a lot of people don't have, their siblings are people that they probably wouldn't like in, I'm going to say real life, but you know what I mean, in the real world, where you would meet them at a party or something. Some of these people are not people that you want to chum around with, you know.
Right.
Yeah, but there's an experiment that the professors usually, sociology type of professors, they line the chairs in rows the first day of class. Everybody sort of checks everybody out who's in the school. But then the next day he circles them, makes them like five chairs in a pod. And he keeps it that way for a couple of days. And what it ends up happening is people clan up by what other people look like. It's something that you would do, really notice you doing it. Let's just say all the blonde, blue-eyed people would end up being in one more corner than the rest of the class, and it's a social thing. What the professor would do then he'd split them up. He would take the pods and he'd put the chairs back straight again, so you couldn't, you know, gather in the same group and watch what the people's reaction and this kind of thing. It's a people watching thing.
Yeah,
it's a comfort zone. Yeah. It's your comfort zone. It's your comfort zone. It's not a racist thing. It's a comfort zone when people don't know each other.
Well, I think I know there that experiment that you're talking about, and I think it can easily become a racist. I remember one time I saw the same thing on Phil Donahue's show many, many years ago, and what they did is they separated the room, blue-eyed people on one side and brown-eyed people on the other, and they made all of the rules and regulations to prohibit any blue-eyed people from excelling in school or college or jobs, that sort of thing. And it really turned into a shit show, because it did become a matter of, you know, the brown-eyed people thought they were better than the blue-eyed people, and they thought they were smarter, and they were deserved more, and all that. So I don't know if you could put a racism thing on it, but it became very real to the group of people in the audience that the brown-eyed people were better than the blue-eyed people, and it was so easy to do. It was so easy to convince them.
Yeah, if you were feeding into that experiment, I can certainly see that happening. This was, they used the word clan more than race. It's not like you knew these people in 2 days. You just wanted to see your people's reactions to be able to clan up and then to have that broken up without input and. It's a whole social thing, but it's more of a comfort zone than anything else. It's
amazing, though, how people can be convinced, eh?
That's interesting.
Yeah. So now, Hatter, would you like to read one of your pieces right now?
Sure. Pick one.
Which one do you want to read?
I don't care. Either one.
So I might help again.
Yes, I saw that. Yeah, let's do that.
I've got one photograph. I've got one posted.
Hatter.
I'm gonna put that in the room, Hatter. I'm gonna get a prayer now.
I got photograph there already.
The song? Okay.
Yeah. Okay. It goes like this.
Where is
it?
Oh,
don't do this.
It's in the
room.
Put
it in the group. It goes like this. Excuse me, please, but I think you could help me with a memory of something I hope is true. A moment in time caught forever laughing. Think I might have been in love with you. Your smile shows you might know me, someone that you knew. Think you knew. A memory in time together happy in this photograph. Am I loving you? Today I saw you walking, so I started to run. I am here to see if you remember me in a photograph when we were young. I feel the warmth of things I'm dreaming. I carry a photograph, a picture. Is this you in my arms? Do you know me from your past? In a photograph I found in yesterday, I held you in my arms together laughing. Tell me, please, if you remember me in this photograph when we were young. Please don't mind these tears I'm crying. They lead to a time I am from, standing in my arms, forever laughing, forever loving in this picture when we were young. Excuse me, please, but I think you could help me with a memory of something that I hope is true, a memory in time caught forever hoping. I think I might have been in love with you.
Wow.
Wow.
So beautiful. What did I say? It's a fantastic song, tender, sweet, loving. This is very emotional and very beautiful. And that was 4 years ago. Hatter shows his heart every time he writes, and these are, they're just poems, but they come from you. You know, you have to be able to think this way or feel this way to write this way. And I love how you've written this. Is this you in my arms, and do you know me from your past in a photograph I found yesterday? You know, I'm crying. They lead to a time I'm from, standing in my arms forever loving in this photograph when we were young. And then, of course, you're admitting, too, I think I might have been in love with you. I love this piece, this poem. And it's like some of the songs that I listen to, like some of your poetry, I just pretend that you're writing them about me. Yes, it was me, Hatter. I was there those years ago.
Uh-huh.
This is a gorgeous piece. What do you think, Linda?
This piece is so special, Hatter. It's even better than the other one. Just the writing of the memory and holding something so dear for so long in your heart, you know, and it's just written so beautifully and intellectually. Your stuff is so high on the board that, you know, it's not even funny. You always amaze me with your talent, and this piece is of no exception. Thank you for sharing it.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I think that you have a terrific romantic appeal to the masses. And what was the influence that got you to write this piece?
Well, it was for a contest. It was a write a love song from one of your older poems. So this was written from the original photograph. And the picture, I love that picture. I wanted to tie it into one of my rights.
I think at heart you're a cowboy anyway.
Thank you.
You're welcome. By the way, he won gold for this piece. And congratulations on that. That's wonderful.
Right on, Hatter.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I totally get that. Some pieces just, you know, pop. They're so well written, they kind of pop out at you and say, love me. And this is one of those pieces. So I'm so happy for your gold, Hatter.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember writing it. I wanted it. I like that Adele song, When We Were Young.
Yeah. Here's, I'm going to read a few quotes, too. Here's one that says, rejection doesn't mean you aren't good enough. It means the other person failed to notice what you have to offer.
That's right.
I thought that was a great quote.
Yeah. I've heard that one before. Who said that?
This was by...
You know?
No, it doesn't say who it was. It's just an urban saying. Here's another one. Don't be upset when people reject you. Nice things are rejected all the time by people who can't afford them. I like that.
Cool.
And there's different forms of rejection. You know, you get rejected if you're submitting a book, let's say, a book of poetry or a novel that you've been writing. All kinds of rejection comes in there. Or you get rejected if you're an actor.
Have you heard something, Lady A?
No, why?
I'm teasing.
Yeah, no, and here's another one. It doesn't mean you aren't good enough. It means the other person failed to notice what you have to offer. I already read that, sorry. That's not what I wanted to read.
Yeah.
Read. Hang on. Rejection is nothing more than a necessary step in the pursuit of success. I like that. Let me check the studio. Okay, callers, come on. Call in and share your poetry.
Yeah,
I'm going to put on a SoundCloud shortly because I think we have three of them. It It's easy to cry when you realize that everyone you love will reject you or die. Yeah. I think, too, that it can form you if you've experienced it your whole life. And I think for myself, it has been that way for me my whole life. And it's to the point where I feel like I've been my own cheerleader. You know?
Right, right.
And here's a good one. I think this one's really meaningful. And Oprah Winfrey said it. Says, she said, "I don't want anyone who doesn't want me." You know, and that goes for relationships, like women and men both, but, you know, we hear from women mostly, like, what in the world? Why do you want to be with someone who doesn't want to be with you? Like, walk away instead of being a beggar when someone doesn't want you. Oh, I got two callers.
Right.
Hang on a second. Hello, Deborah Lee. Hello.
Ah, my Deborah.
Hi.
How are you?
Hi, Deborah.
How's the recovery, doll?
Have you been ill?
No, she's up.
Huh?
She's asking about you.
No, you. How's your recovery?
Oh, it's going well. I had my second post-op, and they said that it's healing better than they expected. I can start putting weight on the heel, and maybe by Christmas I can put weight on my whole foot.
Excellent.
Cool.
I'm just going to get another caller.
I'm
hang on.
Hello?
Welcome to Soft Place to Fall. Who's calling, please?
Naomi.
Hi, Naomi.
Hi, Naomi.
Hello.
Welcome.
It's been a long time.
Yes, thank you for calling in. Wonderful. We have Deb and Linda and Hatter and myself here. Good job. I'm so glad you called in. Are both either one of you in a hurry? I have a half hour.
I have about 45 minutes. So.
Okay. Well, Deb, how about we read yours and so we can discuss it if there needs to be, and then we'll read yours, Naomi, after that, okay?
Yeah, whatever.
Let me just get them in the room here. Hang on.
Hatter.
Now. Deborah Lee, where are they?
At the top.
You're number one. Numero
now and then.
Oh, yes, you're number one for sure. Okay. In we go. The team, okay. There you go, Deborah Lee.
Thank you, sis.
You're welcome.
Okay, so I came at this one with, for one, a thrill for the chance to be able to bring it back out of the vault, and two, from the attitude, well, your loss. So this is called Snake Print Dance Dress. Here we go. Our high school reunion grinned at the invite. I bet this will be fun. One hell of a night. Wanted to look sexy, bought a snake print dress. Presumed he'd eat his heart out. Fact, I must confess. Eyes met across the room, flashed a cheesy grin. He scanned me up and down. Let the games begin. I smiled, danced, and giggled, but did not kowtow. Danced them and whispered, hey, how you like me now?
Very good.
This is very, very good. I love it. I think, when did you read this? It was a couple of years ago, but I loved it then, too. I think it was really creative and very, and a snakeskin dress and was really perfect, too, when you think about the temptation that you put out there while you were in that dress. And then you didn't succumb to the weaker of the two sexes. And then you say, and how do you like me now? I love this. Linda, what did you think?
It says it all.
Thank
you. Well,
so much.
I loved it. I thought it was funny. Were very well planned out. And the dress, Deb, you looked great in it.
Thank you.
But, yeah, it was nice when we get over on the ones that got over on us. Triumph is a beautiful thing. You have a very distinct way with your words, Deb, and you brought this out in a very funny ending and a very sweet little poem. So thank you for sharing it, sweetheart. Very well done.
Thanks. And Naomi, what did you
think? I'm really, really glad you're healing well.
Thank you.
Yeah, I really like this. It's really made me laugh, actually. And just the because it's a snake dress too, you know, goes along with the poem. You're dressed to bite. So it was really good. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
And Mr. Chapeau, come on, can you tell us how you feel?
So you didn't wear your cheerleader outfit, huh?
Nah, not to the dance.
Yeah, perfect scenario to show up in. Now you got to explain who's he.
Well, I won't explain the who's he. But I will say that, like, in high school, I was always that skinny chick, because, I didn't get curves until much later in life. So it was more about late bloomers and people who don't give you a chance to bloom, so how you like me now type of thing. You know, I mean, I could list off a couple of boys I thought were cute, but that were jerks and you know.
Dickhead.
We all can. Yes, that's my favorite. Yes, that's my favorite nickname for many, sadly. but, yeah, that cracked me up. I can't believe you just said that. My one of my favorite things to call. A guy. Anyhow, yeah, no, it was more about the attitude and more about how, whether it be rejection or anything else that might bring you down, it's all about the attitude. You could either let it go, you go lick your wounds in a corner and be depressed and look at your half-empty glass, or you can just say, oh, well, how are you liking me now? And go sip
What about the heart you broke?
It was more about that. Anyway.
Great piece, though. And I think we have our favorite Australian dignitarian here.
Yay.
How are you, AP?
Hello.
Hello. Good. Everybody's here. Deb and Naomi and Linda and Hatter and me.
Wonderful.
How are you doing?
Hi, AP.
I was sitting here at lunchtime, and I thought I should write an appropriate small ditty, Lady A.
Okay.
Ditty, I love it.
Breaking up and rejection. Yes.
Breaking up and rejection. Are you in a hurry, AP?
Yes.
Okay.
I am slightly.
So, Are you able to put that in the room for us?
I am. And
perfect. How was your frittata?
See this or not? Well, here we go. You ready?
Yep.
Some people would say that they could never actually write this, but I'm going to write it, and I've written it. And it's up on the board now.
Oh, there it is. Okay.
Here we go.
You ready?
Yes,
this
sir.
This is My Foot and I Are Breaking Up by me.
Oh.
You are rounded and smelly while you were cold in the fall. Get in the way watching telly if try a quick step soon more. Find you are difficult to fetch, putting a boot on always trial. Bandage on the heel a stretch and the nails always beat file. And then is all the investment, wrapping and changing seal, half a chemist in the basement and sterile packs and bits reveal. Would be great if could donate, so keep all the toes still in line, but it seems soon to be your fate to end up within waste confined. In pulp.
Oh, no.
I thought you were talking about me right there. That's how my foot feels.
So have they confirmed that, AP?
No, not as yet, but I think it's probably more likely. Well, literally, my foot and I are breaking up at some point in the future, near future, Lydia. I will have a prosthesis at some point in the near future.
Oh my goodness! I'm so sorry to hear that.
What happened?
That is a very good question.
Effectively, what happened is I had a set of medical treatment that was treating part of the foot, but not the piece of the foot they should have been. And so I've had a rather major oversight by one of my health teams, and I'm sure that will play its way out in the courts over the period of the next years. But I received some very bad treatment, Naomi.
Wow. Yeah, because my foot, I mean, it's pretty much the same kind of deal. I mean, they said I could be looking at a prosthetic, but it's turning out that it's healing better. But it just, when I fell, it set off some condition that made my foot collapse, bones all collapsed.
Yeah.
And I had to go in and they had to wire everything. But it seems to be doing much better. But, yeah, I'm so sorry.
Yes. No, it's one of the things that I'm getting. I'm sure if I can ride around it, I'll probably get my head around it.
Well, yeah, my goodness. Well, there's so many questions. Well, we've talked before, but I feel so bad about this, yeah. The poem, you know, well, it was tongue-in-cheek, I'm sure.
What?
It was humorous, but it was also, you know, the end product is awfully sad to think that you quite possibly, if not most definitely, will lose your foot. And, too bad you couldn't put it up somebody's you-know-what before that's done, so.
Yeah. Yes, it's probably a little bit fragile to do that. But no, Julie noted that the process has started for that to happen. So.
Are you still in the hospital?
Wow.
No, I'm out and about, Lady A. I'm whizzing about my apartment on my office chair.
Okay. Oh, my God,
cool.
Don't fall off that. Those are not wheelchairs.
It's got little arms that I haven't fallen off it yet. I've been very good.
Yet being the key word. So how long are you going to be on wheels? Because maybe it would behoove you to get a proper and safe chair.
Yeah. Well, yes, probably. I mean, I will you know, what will happen is that I'll be discharged with a wheelchair, and we'll have to get a little ramp up to my apartment here, and we'll probably have to put some rails in around the bathroom. And that will probably be for about 4 to 6 weeks while the leg recovers, and then there's about a 2 month process, Lady A, that you go through to get the prosthesis working and all the physio around that, and they've got a dedicated facility here. That's only about 3 kilometres away from where I live. So I'll spend
quite a bit
of time.
Well, I think you and Hatter should move in together, and then I'll go over and be your nurse. How about that?
Wow, look at
very good.
I mean, a girl couldn't ask for a better situation, could she?
So,
well,
AT, how much
you
of the foot are you
losing?
I'm
sorry.
I'm sorry, AP. What did you say?
No,
right,
I said,
how
much of the foot are you losing?
Oh, no, the whole thing. The whole thing, because it's
really?
Got an infection in the bone. Yeah, it's got a very nasty infection in the bone.
Wow. Well, kudos to you. My husband has got a prosthetic. He lost his leg in a motorcycle accident. And it's quite the deal. But once, you know, he gets around so well in the morning before he puts his leg on, he just zooms with those crutches. And you get in the mood of it, and, you know, you'll do well. If you don't let
it get you down. Not at all. Looking is very easy when you have something go badly wrong, and I have had something go badly wrong, to sort of just get very negative about it and keep looking back and asking what could have happened. But that's not the way I go about things, as you know. So I write poems about them, and I'm getting in the way when I'm watching television.
Right.
You know, so that's just me.
Am I allowed to say what I thought the type when you sent me that picture?
Yes.
Would you allow me to say that or no?
Of course. Yeah, of course you are, Lydia. Yeah, no, you were on the money early.
Yeah. Well, I'd seen a picture. AP sent a picture for me to look at. And the first thing that I said to myself and to AP was that I wonder if there's what we call a sinus, which is a tunnel inside. Like there was the outside wound, but how deep did that go? And I asked them if they had ever probed it to see how deep it went, and the answer was no. And I, you know, AP, I knew when I looked at it that there was one. And I feel bad.
It's funny you should say, Lady A, because people who know what they're doing, they look at the outside and they see the changes to the skin. And so it's one of those things. So, it's one of those things, isn't it, Lydia?
Well, it's a very unfortunate thing because it was certainly avoidable, in my opinion. I mean, I'm not a lawyer or anything like that, but with my nursing background, I could see that there was indeed a sinus, and it was entirely overlooked.
Yes, correct. So, pointing, Lady A, but, you know, we move forward, and it is a form of rejection, I guess.
Yep.
It's certainly a form of breaking up.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm so happy that you still have your sense of humor intact.
Right. I was just going to say that. Excellent.
Yeah, no.
Good job.
You know, Lady A, I've been through sort of more medical things than you can poke three sticks at, and for me this is just another one, you know, and by that I mean just another one. It'll be a pain in the ass for a little bit, and then we'll get through it and we'll go out the other side as we have before. So, you know.
Well, that attitude and you're halfway there, and you know you can't take the how would I word this now? A successful man, the successes that you have are because of the kind of person that you are. And so this is, like you say, a big bump in the road, a big, big bump in the road, but you will come up on your feet.
Exactly. One of them normal and one of them steel or something, whatever they're
that's
making
right.
out of these days.
Yeah. Well, as long as you can wear your fancy shoes, that's what counts.
Well, I'm sure that's going to be appropriate, Lady A. I've worked that out along the way. It'll work, you know, as it always does. And I think you're right. I think you're right. When it does come down to these things, and more generally, by the way, if you've got a headset that enables you to be optimistic and positive about something and even sometimes poke fun at yourself, it probably helps, I think, all things being equal.
Yes. Well, I encourage you and I applaud you at the same time. And does anybody else, like Naomi or Deb or Heider, you guys want to say something about his poem? Or
I just want to point out, if you look at his title, which incidentally, AP, as soon as you read your title, I had to mute myself, Only You. But if you read that title and don't realize that he's got, you can't get a better attitude than he has about it, shame
exactly.
on you, because like, who else? And it's not like he's had months to let this sink in. He practically just found out 5 minutes ago, and here he is making us laugh about it. So, again, only you.
Thanks, Deb.
Yeah, it was, yeah. And that's what you have on your side. You have that will and that desire and the chutzpah carry on. So that's great. Naomi, did you want to comment on his poem?
Yeah, well, I find that, I don't know how I'd react in a situation like that. And, I applaud you because to use humor to deal with this is it's awesome, and you're keeping up your morale like that and everything. It's just pure bravery that I find. So anyway.
Yeah.
I applaud you. And, the poem, from the beginning line, it just caught me. I didn't know it was all about this, but I found it rather funny. So, I enjoyed the poem very much. So thank you.
Good. Pleasure, Naomi. Thank you.
And by the way, I love your accent.
Thank you. Yes. It has been noted. Yes.
We all love AP's accent.
Yeah. Now, Naomi, you're in a bit of a hurry. AP, you're going to hang for a little bit, or do you have to run?
I'm going to run, Lady A, so thank you again. And I'm actually not allowed to run. I'll walk past. How's that? And I'll go.
Okay. I appreciate so much you sharing that and sharing part of you as well. And we'll all be continually thinking about you. And if you need anything, you know where we all are. And if you need a nurse now, I can fly to Australia and help you out. Anytime you need
thank
an
you,
enema
you
or anything. Oh, man.
I've written about that before, but anyway, I'm going to go now, slowly. Okay, bye, everybody.
Thanks.
Bye,
you.
Bye.
Bye, AP. Oh, dear, that's so funny. Can you see the two of them, him and Hatter, both together? All right.
Yeah, and you know something? I'm getting a little bit concerned about your little enema fetish, just saying.
Well, no, I don't have a fetish just because men don't like that.
No. I'm fairly confident that when we were all so worried about Hatter getting ready for his surgery, you were offering to do the enemas for him as well. So, like a fetish, you guys say. It's the scariest part for men. Like, there's somebody in there, so. Oh, dear. Okay. Not literally. I'm just joking.
Okay, so I have yours in the room, Naomi. Did you want your SoundCloud to be played, or did you want to read yours?
You can play the SoundCloud. I'm kind of clucked. My throat is not the best tonight, so yeah.
Okay.
You can play the SoundCloud.
All right, so her poem is in the room. It's called Standing Strong on My Own, and I'm going to push it 1, 2, 3. Hang on a second. There it is. Okay, here we go.
Standing strong on my own. I am strong enough to let go of you, my shattered illusions of enough, when rain and storms bring no rainbows, just gloomy days. Strong enough to know when to stop desperately trying to make someone whose heart is elsewhere love me, and accept new realities that paralyze my life, all that I am, and forge through the storm, learning, growing amid change. I'm strong enough to not change you or our situation that lies beyond my control, and simply marvel at all the imperfections that makes you and I what we are. Strong enough to let you go and walk into this world on my own, head held high. Strong enough to be patient throughout all my mistakes and relish in the knowledge that past failures are building blocks leading the way to my final ultimate goals. Strong enough to not give power to those who mistreated me and tried to break me. I can turn my back and simply walk away, singing joyfully to the wind. I am strong enough to stop fighting and admit that I can't be strong all the time, and understand that sometimes to not be strong is true strength after all. Strong enough to sometimes let myself just simply cry.
Oh, that was terrific and empowering. And you used the prompt pick, you rejected me, but I stood strong to prove that you were wrong. And this whole poem was that. And I really, really love the second, I love the whole thing, but the second verse is so important, I think, because we all do this, but women especially do this, is strong enough to know when to stop desperately trying to make someone whose heart is elsewhere love me. Like, why do we want to keep loving and begging for someone to take care of us in the love department, to love us back the way we love them when they don't even want us? And I thought that was really important. And just the whole piece about standing and walking with your head held high, and walking on your own, and being able to recognize that you can do it. Like, I can turn my back and simply walk away, singing joyfully to the wind. That's empowerment. I thought this was very well done.
Thank you.
Okay, Linda has dropped. I don't know where she went. I hope she calls back. Deb, what did you think of Naomi's piece?
Well, I say an amazing write. I actually was just putting clappy hands in her comment. I like the repeat of those two words, strong enough, whether they be in a declaration or in a question. I am strong enough to not change you or your situation. That ties beyond my control. You know, sometimes one of the hardest things to do is admit that you don't have control over something, and those are the hardest things to back away from. And then towards the end, what was that? Strong enough to be patient throughout all my mistakes, another really hard thing to do. And at the end of, I don't think tests for the right word, but for the sake of me not trying to figure out what the word is I'm looking for, we'll say each test of the power shows in each question, strong enough to be patient, strong enough to not give power to those who mistreat me. And each section that you cover is like, it's like, especially this one, the power to those who mistreat me. And sometimes it's like a vicious circle that you can't seem to get yourself out of. And in one moment you can't wait to get away, and in the next moment you find reasons to put up with it. And it's just like, I think each section covered this in a really amazing way. It's an awesome share.
Thank you.
Heather, what about you?
Yeah, I guess sometimes a simple cry is what's needed. It does remind me a lot of "It doesn't kill me, makes me stronger." You know, you need to carry on. Nicely done.
Thank you, Heather.
You're welcome.
Okay. Oh, okay, Deb. Thanks for calling in. Deb's going. Thank you. And Linda, I put a note on the board, and I put your poem up. Can you please call back, darling? We need your voice. And our crowd is all that is left are Naomi and Hatter and I. And Linda, if you could call back, that'd be great. Are you for a little while longer, Naomi? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I'll keep you company.
Okay. I'm going to put in, thank you. I'm going to put in another, I'm going to put Stevens. He's got a, I'm going to put his in the room, and he's got a SoundCloud. So we'll play that. I'll put this in the room first. There we go. And I'll push his sound. It's in the room there now, kids. And I will.
See ya.
There, Stevens, I'll play his right now. 1, 2, 3, here we go.
On the Outside, Questioning My Sanity, by Stephen 76. Through frosted Munton window panes I see family and friends congregating around a crackling warm fire. I hear laughter and see smiles, hugs and kisses, love. I dodder and gaze, frozen collar turned up against the chilling wind. The multitude of matchless ice crystals are whipped up into a flurry, coating my hair and beard, turning black follicles to a shivering Kris Kringle white. Ocular beads begin to fare, but quickly freeze in the bitter cold, joining the snowflakes, escalating to a blizzard. Molars chatter as I stand in soaking wet boots and watch the warmth. End poem.
Wow. You know what, Stephen? This is like, it's like you were speaking my own story. Through frosted mutant window panes, I see family and friends congregating around a crackling warm fire. I hear laughter and see smiles, hugs and kisses, love. And then the end, molars chatter as I stand in soaking wet boots and watch the warmth. He's like on one side of this picture all alone, watching everybody else in his life loving each other. He's an outcast. From what I can see, feels he is unloved, or perhaps he is unloved by those people. Because real friends and family members wouldn't let someone that they love stand on the outside, on the off side, and not invite them in. I totally relate to this piece, Stephen, and it was really, really very well written. And I'm just trying to see. This was, when did you write this?
A year ago. Threatened.
Yeah. So I thought this was terrific. And what did you think, Hatter?
Yeah, it reminded me of the first Christmases that I had to spend alone. Found myself standing out in front of a house, watching party inside. Cold as hell. And then pull your collar up and hit the road. You know?
Yeah. It's sad when people are rejected by the ones that are supposed to love them the most. And you know, I have that within my own family, with my children. It's a very difficult place to be, and you cry a lot over it. Sometimes divorce is cause a great deal of hardship all the way around when you have some who don't, children's best interest first. And it can be disastrous in the end. So, and to have your family, siblings and parents and cousins and everybody to be standing on that one side of the fence and by the bonfire and all warm and fuzzy and laughing and loving each other, and you're standing there by yourself in the cold. Stephen was very profound. Naomi, what did you think?
Well, I think his word choice in this is amazing to start off with. The way he describes the whole scene, the words he chose. Ocular beads begin to fair, but quickly freeze in the bitter cold, joining the snowflakes, escalating to a blizzard. And then he stands there soaking in soaking wet boots. The wet boots, you know, against the crackling warm fire that you know, beside each other makes for this poem to be very, very powerful when you see those two comparisons. I see this as, if it is personal, it's very sad, but also I can see it as the whole thing as a metaphor for, you know, wanting acceptance and to die from rejection. So I see it in both ways, and because it's such an amazing rite. So I can see the metaphor in it, or I can see the personal pain also and the sadness in it.
Oh, yeah.
If it's real. So, yeah, very powerful, very well written piece, amazing. So, yeah, bravo, Stephen. Very, it really touched me this right.
Very well said, and great comment. Now, I'm going to read one by In Chains. I don't think she had a SoundCloud. I'm just going to check that. I thought she was going to... Well, there's Linda. She's back.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, good to have you back.
My phone went out of battery.
Yeah, I'm going to jump up after this and try to get mine, because I think mine's going to die shortly too. Okay, so we are going to now, I'm going to read a poem by In Chains called A Mockingbird's Dead Nest. I once dreamt dying, remembering the dynamics of hope, centuries old, a timber house in a lavender meadow, touched by the blood of fogs, sparkly harvest beneath fertile crescent moon. I soliloquize in keynotes of muffled moans and breathless sighs, memories were those stringed together, rosebuds in cosmic dust, in chasm of tall silver grass covered over graven cotton lilies, drenched as ghosts regurgitated whispers, formed misty vignettes. Rain shadows stood, embattlement of war, in total darkness, until the fall, when owls would hum until the incandescent first light at break of dawn. End poem.
Well.
So, what did you think of that, Linda?
I thought, wow. this was beautifully written, and I'm really blown away by it. A memory in such fine detail, and the imagery in this is mesmerizing. It has such lovely colors form from the words. I'm very impressed by the work, and I'm not easily impressed. I want to thank In Chains for writing this beautiful, beautiful piece of poetry. Thank you.
I thought, you know, Jo, as I know her, she's very abstract in her writing, although this, I think, was less abstract than what I'm used to seeing of her work. And she has a very unique way of writing, a very unique way of expression. And, you know, she's dreaming of dying and the dynamics of hope. And her description of where she is in that moment of dream REM sleep is very, you know, like when you think about centuries old, that timber house in a lavender meadow. Can you just picture that wooden house in the lavender meadow and touched by the blood of fog's sparkly harvest beneath fertile crescent moon? So you have that, you can imagine the moon shining down on this lavender meadow, its sparkle coming from all angles of this harvest. She has a way of her imagery, she adds, is really quite spectacular. When you think about in chasm, let me see here now. Memories were those string together rosebuds in cosmic dust, in chasm of tallest silver grass covering over graven cotton lilies. Like her ability to describe where she is and those emotions that she's standing in, I think is quite fantastic. Let me see. Naomi, I didn't ask you, did I?
No.
Okay.
I was just reading her AM there. It says, I was writing this, I am feeling sad, the truth be known. For it is always me left out in the cold to walk through a storm alone. So, I think this, the way she writes this poem is so beautiful to express that feeling. My gracious. And even from the title, A Mockingbird's Nest Dead.
Yeah.
Mockingbird, a nest. Right from the title, it's just amazing all through. And you picked out the lines that I was going to use too. And anyway, from the first line to the end, it's just superb. It's just beautifully written all through. And wow, just an amazing. It's art. It's real art.
Yeah.
Art on paper.
Excellent, excellent description of that too. Hatter, do you have anything you'd like to offer?
Yeah, I love the way Joe starts out. I once dreamt, dying, remembering the dynamics of hope.
It's a great first line. I've noticed Joe's calmed the strong metaphors down and let the words before and after describe it. Gives us a chance to appreciate the metaphor she uses a little more. I think it's a great tribute to how her talent is. She's forming her own style. That's very well done.
Yes, I agree. I agree. Thank you for your comments, everybody. And Linda, I'm going to put yours in the room. And here it is. Thank you, Joe, for writing for this show. I much, very much appreciate it. And your poem was lovely and quite moving. So, Linda, there's yours in the room there now.
Okay, let me refresh. Oh, you want to hear the funny one?
Well, whatever, you had this in the room, but you can read whatever you want if you don't want to read this one. I'm going to have her just sort of cover for a couple of minutes. I have to go get the other phone before this one dies.
Okay. Yeah, so this one's funny.
Yeah.
Expense and bread. Okay.
This is a little off topic because I didn't know there was a topic when Andrea invited me to the show the other day. I wasn't aware that I had to write it, so
right.
I just made
right.
this. And so it goes like this: sixpence and bread. 12 years in a box did I, for nary but a crime. They said I stole a piece of bread worth nary but a dime. The darkness that engulfed me for my disrespect of bread was tenfold what was justified, but better off than dead. It started off a normal day, the hunger I would get. So off to see the fishmonger, he wasn't there just yet. And so I sat and watched the sea, awaiting for to meet the fishmonger to get myself something good to eat. Then came 10 o'clock that morning with hunger in my head. I couldn't wait the fishmonger, so I fancied a slice of bread. And there amongst the marketplace, I spied a several carts. No fish had they but fresh baked bread to feed my hungry heart. So or did I go to them to check what kinds they showed, sesame, ciabatta, brioche, and sourdough. Whilst I stood and smelled the bread, a piece of fell off a loaf. That's when, just when I picked it up and ate the fine brioche. Stop, you thief, you stole my bread. Catch her for my sake. Hurry up or she'll escape, though a move I did not make. I never thought a nibble on a broken piece of bread would get me thrown into a box where plenty I would dread. Then just in a titmouse wink, they grabbed me up quite fast. They threw me in the on the cobblestones and told me to avast. And then the next I knew of, I was waking up in jail, waiting for my trial to see what would avail. Then stood three men that swore to tell the truth and nothing but that is how I justified I got into this rut. One with hat that the height of 10 and wore a dirty bib. Another wore a smoking coat and spoke a little glib. Then last had on a mustache that was twisted at the ends. I could tell by just one look he wasn't but a friend. The first man said I took his loaf, then sliced it with a knife. The second man said that was true and swore upon his wife. The third man with the big mustache then said I'd taken nine loaves of bread is what I took and that would be my crime. That's just not true, I yelled out. You must have lost your mind. All this truth you're spouting out spouts out from your behinds. At that, the judge was shaking in his boots. His eyes got glassy, and he said, you'll pay for all that loot. And then he told the courtsman to take me to the back. That's where he tied me up and put me in a sack. They beat me several times before they put me in the box. That is where my life began, a blackened paradox. 'Cause 12 years did I spend inside with no one there to talk to. but when released, they gave sixpence and a warm ciabatta in poem.
Gave sixpence and a warm ciabatta.
Yes. It's supposed to be
so
ironic.
What was the inspiration of this? Was this a contest or?
No, I was just sitting around one day feeling goofy.
Okay. A little bit. She was waiting for fish. She got bread.
Yeah. I got nailed for the bread, and then they gave me bread as a present when I got out.
Yeah, destined for the box.
Yes.
Yeah, it was good rhyming through the piece.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I am known to be a good rhymer.
We're a dying breed.
Yeah,
anyway,
I don't know. Uh-oh.
Oh, see, I've got it yet. Yeah, there's one part in here. Where was it? Back in the paradox. That is where my life began, a black in paradox. They beat me several times before they put me in a box. You know, they put you in a box. You're talking about a cell?
Yeah, like the box in prison. You know, the old time. This is supposed to be back in, you know, maybe 100 years ago.
Oh, like isolation.
Ago.
Right. Oh, okay.
Yeah, isolation.
That was great, Linda. And Naylan, did you want to make a comment?
Yes.
Oh, is she still with us?
I don't think anybody knows what to say about it.
Let me just check
just
something
there.
Out. I'm just going to see if Naomi dropped. Yeah. Okay, so it's just us chickens.
I thought it was great.
There's another one that follows your theory here that I posted. A couple of them, a matter of fact.
Hey, did you want to read that? Go ahead and put it on the board.
Yeah, I don't know how to get it up on the board. Oh,
okay.
Wait a minute. Yes, I did. Something in here tells me to do this. Let me see. Well, I brought two that are on your line of thought here. Okay. Is it on the board?
I don't see it yet.
Oh, okay. I don't know how to do that. I know how to get it on mine, but
okay,
I don't know how to
refresh.
What?
Mockingbirds?
No, it's called 1,000 Deaths.
Oh, yeah, I see it. It's there now.
Okay.
I think. Wait a minute. No, it's not. I don't see it. Lady, are you trying to find it?
Yeah, I'm trying to find it here now. Hang on. What's it called again?
Okay.
1,000 Deaths.
Is it a number 1,000 or a word?
a word, 1,000 death.
Okay, I got it. Hang on. I'll put it in the room. Copy. And paste.
Hi, Deb.
Okay. Naomi, if you want to call back, you're more than welcome to. Right now, we're going to get Linda to read her piece of poetry. And go ahead, Linda.
Okay, it's called 1,000 Deaths. I've cried some tears of loneliness. I've cried some tears of pain. I've cried so much when I lost your love. So now the tears I cry for you are nothing but disdain, because now I'm only crying tears of blood. I died 1,000 times before I killed myself last night. The pain I felt was screaming out your name. I really tried my best to rise above and see the light, but I found I couldn't deal with all the pain. Your heart tore me asunder and you didn't even care. You shit up on our love and made it die. When I found that you and her were having an affair, I stopped right then believing all your lies. Last night you walked away from me and told me to get lost. You didn't want to see me anymore. I would have done anything to keep you at all costs, but I watched you as you walked on out the door. I've cried some tears of loneliness. I've cried some tears of pain. I've cried so much when I lost your love. So now the tears I cry for you are nothing but disdain, because now I'm only crying tears of blood. I slashed my wrists at 12 o'clock and sat and watched the blood. I shivered as it poured out on the floor. There was just so much it looked like it would start a flood, but soon I would be dead forevermore. Now I am the devil's child because I took my life. My wings of darkness will I forever wear. I thought it was a good way to relieve my strife, but found out that the strife will still be there. I've cried some tears of loneliness. I've cried some tears of pain. I've cried so much when I lost your love. So now the tears I cry for you are nothing but disdain, because now I'm only crying tears of blood in poem.
Wow. This was brilliant. It was painful to read. And the sorrow and the pain of one who is struggling to love someone who doesn't love them enough to the point that they would take their life is very, very sad indeed. I thought you did a really good job in writing it, expressing that.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Sorrow, yeah. And, you know, the repetition of I cried some tears of loneliness. I've cried some tears from pain. It was palpable. You could feel it. You could feel it. And then, you know, like, take your own life. The last two stanzas were very hard to read. You know, when you speak about suicide, it's just a really, it's a painful topic anyway.
Right.
And we've all been there, thought of it. Acting it out was another thing, but I thought you did a really great job on this. Mm-hmm. Heather, what'd you
think? Thank you, darling.
You're welcome.
Yeah, with you, you could certainly feel it to the right, the emotions. You're very descriptive on I've cried some tears of loneliness, I've cried some tears of pain, from pain. Cried so much when I lost your love. Yeah, that's just sorrow. That's just nicely done.
Thanks, Heather.
You know, and your storytelling, too, is fantastic. And the cadence and the rhyme are always very attractive to me because I love rhyme. So very well done. I'm going to put this on my list.
Oh, thank you. You said
and now,
dark, so I brought dark.
What's that?
I said you said bring dark, so I brought dark.
Yeah.
I was.
It was perfect. Now, let me see what we have left. We have Budo, and we have, I'm going to play Laughing Souls. I'll put hers in the room, and then I'm going to play her SoundCloud. Let me see. And there's SoundCloud there. Had some great poetry so far tonight. It's right there.
Okay.
And then I'm going to push the button. Where is she? Did she have a SoundCloud? I've got one from Frank, but I don't have a poem from him.
Doesn't say there's one.
Well, I don't have, it must have been an error. I have Budo's left from here. We've had Red Stevens and Naomi's, but Frank, I don't think, submitted anything. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read that.
Which one are you reading?
I'm going to read, Laughing Souls, Talisman, My Heart.
Oh, right.
I'm sorry about the SoundCloud, Laughing Soul, but I'll do my best. Oh, how naive was I, seeking a place in every eye. I carried a heavy pail too long, a burden of somber, unwanted lie. One night when no star did shine, moonlight didn't flow like rosette wine, I saw a reflection, oh, so dark, a silhouette of my scars benign. Struck a lightning in the skies, cracked the pale of unwanted lies. A Pandora of shadows lay naked white, drenched my soul in heavens and sighs. Drenched my soul in heaves and sighs. Cascaded tears of resilience illumine my aura divine radiance, melted my heart a frozen chamber, now a talisman of benevolence. End poem.
Beautiful.
I'm sorry I murdered those two lines, but you know what? I really love this piece. And Laughing Soul, you've really evolved in your writing. I love that evolution. Your rhyme is great. Your cadence is great. The storyline is great. The emotion that you put forth is really great. And I loved how it was becoming dark. It became dark. And then it lifted. Into this radiance and the talisman of benevolence. I thought this was wonderful, beautiful piece. What did you think, Linda?
Oh, my beautiful laughing soul, my little sister. I just love her so. She writes with such eloquence and clarity, and what a true window to her soul. I always love the way she's able to put such beautiful feelings down on paper and blow me away. This piece is extremely well written, and I think she's truly a princess of poetry, and I love her through all space and time. this is a fantastic write. And there's one line here, a silhouette of my scars benign. I love how she pulled that pain was not there to be her death, but just something of annoyance. And the whole poem is beautifully written. So thank you, my lovely, lovely sister. I wish you were here.
What happened?
Mm-hmm.
Still there, lady? Did we lose her?
Where's
muted. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. That's my fault. I was looking to the mute button.
Okay.
What did you think of that
last
piece?
I lost my phone again. Who?
Hatter.
Did you say Hatter?
Yes.
Yeah, this is very well written. The rhyme scheme and the cadence are spot on. It's brevity. It's not that long. And for the small amount of words, it's got a lot to say.
Yeah.
Our talisman of benevolence. Very good.
Mm-hmm. Excellent piece. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. And right now I'm going to, because it's 1:45, but we still have 2 left, so I'm going to put Budo's up and play his SoundCloud. Hang on. There, it's in the room now, and I'm going to push the bouton of Budo right now. Here we go.
Can you taste the salt-stained pathway to your smile? In the folds of condemnation that it holds, when every time you blink, another streak burnishes a line from the heart, a line from the heart. Collected from countless trips, under the darker moon, when the stars no longer winked and the dawn no showed its face to a moment in time, a moment in time, to reveal a meltdown in extremes, the senses and in between. When every time you blink, another streak burnishes a line from the heart, a line from the heart. Eternal spill of the once was
thank you, Budo, for that beautiful piece. It was very melancholy. The melody was almost sad. The tone of your voice was very quiet. And the descriptions that you have in here, I really like. When the stars no longer winked and the dawn no showed its face to a moment in time, a moment in time. And then there's another place where I really like, hang on, let me see if I can find it. It talks about the moon. I can't find it now, of course. But I thought that it was beautiful. Oh, yeah, here it is. From under the moon, from under the dark of moon. Mm-hmm. I thought that phrasing was really interesting. From under the dark of moon. And then it goes on to about stars not winking in the moment of time. I thought this was a beautiful piece and very, it was melancholy, but it was soothing at the same time. What did you think, Linda?
Well, Bud never fails to just hit my heart, and it set me in awe. This piece is divine, and in the realm of heartache, it speaks the truth. What's done is done, and the heart must carry on. But, yes, I agree with you. From under the dark moon, when the stars no longer winked, and the dawn now showed its face, I think that's beautifully written. This whole piece is just a tribute to how well Budo feels pain and can write about it in song form. I give him a lot of credit for that. So good job, Budo.
Yeah, I think he's a singer, songwriter, musician first before being a poet. But, of course, poetry, music and lyrics are poetry put to music. So, and he was made to do this. It was very well done. Thanks, Budo. Now, let me see. I think I have one more. And I'm not familiar with this person, I don't think. And I didn't get a chance to read the poem, so I'm hoping. Hatter, are you there?
Yeah. Yes.
I'm just going to put this in the room.
Okay.
And would you like to read it, or do you want me to read it?
Who's it by?
It is by, let me see. Sass Borden.
Okay, yeah, I'll give it a shot.
Okay, I don't
even see it up there.
I just put it in there now. It's there now. And
it's
called Old Light. Oh, really?
It says it's been deleted. Yeah. He took it out.
Okay. All right, everybody. Okay, so we have approximately 10 minutes, 11 minutes left. So I think...
I have another one in there.
Yeah, I'm going to get... Hatter, I want you to read your other one, please, and thank you for sugar on it.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And it is called, let me see, no, that's not it, To Love Again Someday, your red photograph. You had three up there, didn't you, Hatter?
Yes.
One, two, where's the third one? Did you take it out?
No, it's very similar title. Love Again Someday.
You didn't read that one yet, though, eh?
No,
I haven't read that one.
No. Okay, so I'm going to put that in the room.
Okay.
And then you can read it to us and make us swoon, okay?
Okay.
All right. Here it is.
To love again someday, okay?
Yep.
Goes like this. Sadness paints my cloudy skies in shades of darkened hue. I wonder if you think of me the way I think of you. I wander streets of broken tears, but most don't see the pain. It took so long to move my feet and learn to walk again. I watch my life pass quickly by with memories so sweet that I am haunted in my dreams while your life seems now complete. I had so many wishes that are so very far away. The one I wish most often is to love again someday.
Pretty.
And that was Candy Brown and I collaborated for that.
Oh. Well, I want to tell you, this is just so beautiful. The rhyme and the cadence again, but that last verse, I had so many wishes that are very far away. The one I wish most often is to love again someday. Wowzer. Like, serious wowzer. And it's just so very beautiful and so very hopeful, dreamy. And you got a lot of really great comments on this piece as well. I'm just looking at some of them. It just was a fantastic piece. Linda, what did you think? I'm putting that on my list.
Oh, pretty Hatter. Once again, you have intrigued me with your poetic intellect. This piece had lovely curves and crisp lines. And I love the first verse where you say, I wonder if you think of me the way I think of you. Because I have a poem that I wrote where I said, I think I'm going to miss you for a little while. I wonder if you're going to miss me too. And that's the way you feel in your heart when you're breaking up. Unless the person was hateful. There's breakups that just people can't live together and be together. And it's sad. And it's sad for both parts. And you got to wish them well, you know, to go on their way and find something that makes them happy. You don't always have to hate the person that breaks up with you. And this is a very, very lovely way of putting that. I just love this poem, Hatter. It's just exquisitely well done. Thank you for sharing it.
Beautiful piece. Beautiful, beautiful. When did you write that, Hatter? Wow.
It's been a while.
6 years ago. Wow. That was right when I first met you.
Yeah, I found that. I found the other one. That's the one else.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to... You want to read that, or...?
Yeah, is there time?
Yeah.
It's not long.
Can you put it in the room?
Yep, it should be there now.
Okay.
So I might love again.
Oh.
See it?
Oh, okay.
Boy, that was quick.
Goes like this. I took back all the reasons I thought I heard you say. Your answers help tomorrow's time, the questions I had today. Will you tell the brokenhearted, tell them I was here. I cannot see tomorrow's heart each time I feel you near. We'll always say I love you, the words you left behind. The glass that shattered at your feet held the cherry wine. Please tell me that it gets better, but I'll never have to pretend. Say the words that I need to hear so I might love again.
Oh.
Very similar.
Oh, this is very swoonable. I'm going to read you what I wrote when I first read it a year ago. Hatter, this is just gorgeous, mournful, filled with longing and regret, expressed in your famous Hatterism, cadence, rhyme, impeccable. Love it. Just a beautiful piece, so absolutely stunning. Linda, what about you?
You know what I liked about this piece? I mean, it just goes right along with your other ones, Hatter, but this one speaks of innocence in a way, and I love that when you say, please tell me that it gets better and I'll never have to pretend, say the words that I need to hear so I might love again. That is just so innocent and pure and lovely. So, yeah, you did a fantastic job on all three of these poems. They're just so pretty. So thank you for letting me hear them. It's a great honor.
Oh, thank you.
So I would like to take a few minutes or a minute or two to thank Deb. Hatter, thanks for hanging out all evening. And Linda, too, thanks for hanging out with me all evening. And Naomi, for calling in. So great to hear you. AP, was wonderful to hear from you as well. And just a second, hang on. And I would like to thank Stephen. Just a sec. I'm trying to get my things in a row here. So I'd like to thank Stephen so much for submitting his, and Budo, and Joe in Chains, Laughing Soul, Naomi, and for joining me tonight and making this. I thought it was a great night. I felt really good having it back to people feeling free to express themselves in a free manner, because there's some serious feelings going on in this evening show, and I appreciate every one of you, and I thank you so much for taking part in the show. And I think I have time to finish off. I think we've got 3 minutes left. I'm going to read one of mine to close out the show. I don't think it's a very long one. And it's called Rainbow Plumes. And it goes like this. I'll put it in the room here. It's there for you guys. Maybe not.
It won't.
No, and we don't have time.
It's there,
anyway.
But it's in.
Well, I wonder what happened
there. Black.
You know what happened there? It's not meant to be. We're to end the show with that beautiful piece by Hatter, with good, happy feelings and warm and fuzzy thoughts. Thank you all. Love you all. Hatter, check your inbox, please. I sent you a message. And
okay.
We'll meet again 2 weeks from tonight with another show of All Places. So with that, I bid you all good night, and thank you so much. Je t'aime beaucoup.
Good night, Andrea. Good night, Hatter.
Night.
Good night.